All right, if everybody will, take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We'll look at verses 1 through 7 this morning. I don't believe we'll get through all of those, but we are going to attempt, if the Lord is gracious. The title of the message this morning is The Necessity of Divine Wisdom. The Necessity of Divine Wisdom. The Scripture here says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow down thine ear to my understanding." The wisdom of the Father to his son. I know that this is a good book for any family to read together. It has wonderful things, I think, for everyone. This is a wise book. And I'll tell you, if you are a son, you should heed the counsel of your father. If he is a wise man, a saved man, you should heed the counsel of your father. It's wise to do that. It's wise in our day. You see this prophecy, and he's going to be talking about a strange woman. What? How needful is that in our day? If they would just heed those things, we don't even have that. Adultery and fornication run rampant in our nation as though it were just a frivolous thing. But we know the Word of God teaches better than that. The Word of God teaches us it's an abomination. Anyone lay hold on that, lay hold on adultery or a fornication, they're laying hold on hell. That's what they are. People hardly ever come back from those things unless God brings them back from through great suffering. So these things can be looked at and seen by anyone as wisdom. It's wisdom. Now, but this thing here is something more to every child of God. This is not just the wisdom of an earthly father who has many faults, many sins. This is the wisdom of God the Father to each and every child of His. To every son of God. To every elect sinner. To every believer in Christ, God says this, "My son, hear. My son, attend unto my wisdom." My wisdom. This word is the word of God the Father to every adopted son. A word to all that are chosen and predestinated unto salvation, for the praise and the glory of His grace. It is a word of never-failing wisdom. Listen to this word of never-failing wisdom. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What a word of wisdom. It's wise. Is it not wise for the guilty to beg for mercy? Is it not wise to bow yourself before the only true and living God? Is it not wise to bow down to His Son, the only propitiation, the only mercy seat for our sins? When God has promised salvation to everyone that believeth, isn't it wise to believe? Yes. That's wisdom. Have you believed? Have you heard the wisdom of God? Have you believed on Jesus Christ alone? Because all the fullness of God dwells in Him. If there is any joy, any peace, any comfort, it is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. This is why I do not go by any creed or anything like that, because everyone would adore the creed and miss the person. I want you to see the person of Jesus Christ. He is the God-man, the only God-man mediator. He is the only hope for you and for you and for you and for me. He's the only hope for sinners. That's it. There is no other way to God. No man cometh to the Father, Jesus said, but by me. Listen to that wisdom. Not my wisdom. It's not my earthly wisdom. This is the wisdom of God, that you come by His Son. That you come by Christ, the eternal Son of God. He was ordained. The wisdom of God ordained Him from eternity to be our mediator. Flip over, hold your place. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. The Scripture says, concerning those offerings, those burnt offerings. He said, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In other words, God has no pleasure in burnt offerings. He has no pleasure in the works of men. He has no pleasure in men trying to obey His law. There's no pleasure in that. You know, I take pleasure in my son trying to obey me. I do. I know he can't. And because I'm a sinner, I know he's a sinner. And so I have allowances. There's certain things I'll let slide. Oh, but God is altogether different. Friends, God does not want your good works. God is not pleased with our works. Our religious exercise. The fact that you got up this morning and came to church, I think that's good. And I know it's good because God's Word says it is. But really, in righteousness, this adds nothing to the righteousness of Christ. Nothing. Me preaching the gospel adds nothing to my salvation. Not one thing. Not one thing. Is sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not? But a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus came to do the will of God. He came to be a substitute for the elect. He was prepared a body. And lo, in the volume of the book, Jesus said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all things concerning Himself. When you read this Bible, are you looking for Christ or are you looking for you? I want to see Christ. I know what I am. I know what I am. By seeing Christ, I see more of what I am. But I'll tell you, we need to find Christ first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. We need to seek Him. God had no pleasure in any obedience of man, nor sacrifices or religious exercise. None of them could have saved us. None could have made us holy or accepted. None, as the song says, no sighs, nor prayers, nor tears could bear my awful load. But isn't that what men believe? If they're just sincere enough, if they just have enough of sincerity, then that will take away their sin. No. No. You can weep from now unto eternity, and that will not bear one sin. There's only one who bore sin in His body. And that's Jesus Christ. He was made a man so that He might bear the iniquity of us all. That He might bear the sins of His people. Christ was prepared to be a redeemer. And by His one sacrifice, He has forever removed all our sins. All my sins. Even those sins I don't know about. Even those sins that I've committed in the past before I knew Him. The sins I commit as I know Him. The sins that I shall commit. He has already bore them in His own body, and God unleashed holy hell on Him. Pure justice. Friends, God's justice, the Scripture says, is satisfied. God is satisfied. With who? With Him. God is satisfied with Him, and God is satisfied with me in Him. If you are in Christ, by faith in Christ, you are in union with Christ, and God will not deny Himself, because all of our sins are gone. God so put away our sins that He Himself says He will not remember them. God cannot find our sins. Isn't that something? He cannot find them because they are gone. Gone. They've been punished. And the righteousness has been taken and put in place of our sin. The righteousness of God. And therefore, as God had purposed, even so now, if we believe in Christ, He has accomplished. He's revealed to us what He purposed and accomplished, that we are His sons. I am a son, and my dad's name is Fred Evans, my earthly dad. That's his name. But who cares? I have a great Father who is God. I am a son of God. Well, you're arrogant. No, I'm just believing what God says. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the right. I have the right. I have the authority of God that I am a son of the living God. Something. Gave He the right to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born. We weren't born of our blood. We weren't born of our will. We weren't born of the flesh or will of some other man. We were born of God. If you're born again, it's because God has chosen you to be His son. John says in 1 John 3:2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." When? Now. You are now the sons of God. You are now the sons of God. And it doesn't appear what we shall be. I don't know what all that entails. But man, how should we boast of God for what He has done for us? How should we not brag concerning the glory of our God's grace who made us sons? He took the most unworthy, the most vile. He's taken the most rebellious men and women and made us His children. What grace is that? What king do you know of in this world that would have taken the rebels and made them sons? None. because none of them were so gracious as our God. None are so gracious as our Father. So this word, my son, that's you. Believer in Christ, my son, that's what God said. Attend unto my wisdom. The wisdom of God's the second thing. It is the depravity of man to think he is wise, or that by learning he can somehow know God. That is foolishness. You can go back in my study, and there are many books. I don't have as many as others. But you can go back there and you could memorize every page of those books. And there's a lot of information in those books. You can assimilate that information. And you can probably understand what they're talking about carnally. But friends, you'll never know the wisdom of God unless God Himself reveals His wisdom to you. This wisdom is given. And you know it's given to the most simple. It's given to the most ignorant of men. You know, when the Lord chose His disciples, He didn't go out and choose what man thought would be best. He chose men that were simple. They said, how in the world does this guy know letters? No, how does he know how to read? He didn't even attend our schools. You know, I still get that today. Well, where'd you go to school? Well, I say this, same place John the Baptist went to school. The school of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that taught me. The Holy Spirit is the one that called me. I don't need their approval. Why does any man need approval of another man to preach? If God called you to preach, preach! Preach. The truth of God is something that man does not desire to hear. Wisdom of God is something man doesn't want to hear. That all men are fools. If you are lost this morning, if you are without Christ, you are the most ignorant person in this world. You are blind, you are dead, and you have nothing. How do I know that? Because that's exactly what my nature is. I know you because I know me. I know what we are by nature. And men hate to hear this, but we don't trust in any wisdom of men. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 17. That's what God says about somebody who won't hear His wisdom. Somebody who's trusting in themselves or looking to something that they've done. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose whole heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by waters, that springeth out of her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? Here it is. I, the Lord. That's who knows the heart. I, the Lord. Search the heart and try the reins, and give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. anybody's leaning on themselves, I'll tell you what, you must be a very depressed man. You must be a very sad fellow. If you were to contemplate all the times that you were successful in leaning upon yourself, you will come up with a big old goose egg, zero. Every time I've trusted in myself, I've failed miserably. Every time I've trusted in someone else, they have failed me miserably. My children will fail me. My wife will fail me. You will fail me. I will fail you. Don't put your trust in me. Don't put your trust in your family. Don't put your trust in yourself. Cursed are you who put trust in anything but the wisdom and righteousness of Jesus Christ. God says you're like a fire in a desert. Now, who needs a fire in a desert? Who would go out and plant in a desert? Only a fool would do that. And if you're planting on yourself, if you're betting on yourself, you're going to fail. It's a sure loss. It's not wisdom. It's foolishness. And yet, men, the heart is so deceitful that men continue in this way to despise wisdom. Who is he to tell me that I can't build a fire in the desert? Go right ahead. Go right ahead. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He's going to be like a tree planted by water. Now that's beautiful. That's just right, isn't it? Wouldn't you want to plant a tree by a river as opposed to in a desert? No, you wouldn't want to plant in the desert. It's foolishness. You plant a tree by water. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord. It's just right. Just good. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. Jeremiah goes on in this chapter to talk about defiling the Sabbath. He tells them, don't you defile the Sabbath. He goes to this gate and he proclaims God's word. He said, if you bring any burden into this city, if you carry any burden outside of your house on God's Sabbath, you're cursed. And truly, if you try to bring anything into the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you're cursed. If you try to bring any burden into God's kingdom, you'll be cast out. You won't be welcome. You see, God's grace is free. Free. Every man likes free except this. I mean, you tell him he gets a free, you buy a car, you get a free coffee cup. He'll run down there and spend $1,000 on a car, get a coffee cup. You know, and I'm telling you, God's salvation is free. Free. Free from your works. Free from your merit. Come and bow down your ear and listen to God's wisdom. Come and live. Live and not die. Why will you die? Why will you try to bring your works into it? You're nothing but filthy rags. And God says, leave those out and come and welcome. And I'll save you forever. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. I come. Now, I come by His wisdom. By His wisdom. Behold the wisdom of God that no man could have ever imagined. Free grace. You know, there's no religion in the world that speaks of free grace but this one. Every false religion demands you do something to merit their God's favor. Every religion. Every false religion. Every false religion. This is the only one that says by grace you are saved through faith. And that faith, even that faith, is not of ourselves. If you can believe, believe. And if you do believe, understand this. It's not because you had faith. It's because God has given you faith. You see that even our faith is not something to boast in. We have nothing to boast in. Nothing but Christ. Who would have imagined peace and rest with God without merit, without the burden of religious exercise? Friends, Jesus is the wisdom of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that believeth. Behold the great wisdom of God, how God can be just and still save a sinner like us. That's wisdom. Because I'll tell you, there is no earthly way that a man can remove guilt. Do you know of a way a man can remove guilt? Is there any instance in judicial history of any man removing guilt? Now, you can remove a man from the punishment of his crime. You can declare a man to be innocent. But one thing you can't do is you can't take away the trueness of his guilt. If I've committed murder, they may pardon me. You may love me. You may say, well, I forgive you. But one thing you couldn't do is take away the fact that I actually killed that man. You can't take that away. This is only something God can do. This is only something God has done. He's taken my guilt and He imputed my guilt to His Son so that justice might be satisfied in Him, in His death, so that my guilt would actually be punished like it should be. And so that when He was punished for my guilt, I was given His righteousness. Do you suppose that's fair? Is that fair? Absolutely not. That's not fair. I don't want fair. Fair is I go to hell. That's fair. That's right. I want mercy. I want to be found in Christ and His righteousness so that when I die, my soul will ascend unto God where I'll rejoice with Him forever because He promised He'll do it. And so when I preach to you this morning, this is not the words of my wisdom. This is the wisdom of Christ. Now, bow down your ear and hear it. God commands you God demands of you that you hear His wisdom. Paul said, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to know God by your wisdom. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. If you're not saved, you know the foolish thing, the most foolish thing in the world you can do is not be here. Isn't that right? If you are not saved, the most foolish thing you can do is avoid this worship service and hearing the gospel. Why? Because it is by this foolish means, what you think is foolish, God has chosen. God was pleased by this means to save them that believe. Friends, no man is going to be saved apart from hearing God's Word. You're not going to one day be walking in the woods and all of a sudden be saved. Nope. You're not going to be walking along and praying and then all of a sudden, boom, you're saved. No. You must hear the gospel. You must. Because this is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Bow down your ear and hear His wisdom. Well, I can be saved anywhere I want to. That's your wisdom. That's not God's wisdom. Matter of fact, anybody who thinks this message or these things that we are doing here is foolish, it's because you're dying in your sins. Scripture says, to them that perish, it's foolishness. It's old fashioned. You need to change your method. One of the hot topics on the sermon audio this week was how to set your church on fire. Well, you know what they should do is take a match and set their church on fire. That's what they should do. I'm not going to set you on fire. Oh, that's a work of the Spirit of God. I don't do that. But this is the means. And to the flesh, it is intolerable. To the flesh, it's a burden. To the Spirit, it's a joy. To the Spirit, it's a joy. I don't come preaching wisdom, and you know, you don't come to hear my smooth words. I know that. I have no gift for smooth words. But consider the rebellion of our day. Have you considered the rebellion of our day? People who profess to believe in Christ, but yet when there's no church near them, they don't move? What is that? Well, there's no gospel here, but I'll just stay here because it's my family and my friends. And why should I have to give all that up? Well, because Christ said, if any man hate not his father and his mother and his sister and his wife and yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Bow down, hear the wisdom of God. You better bow down, hear the wisdom of God. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Why? Because you discourage the brethren. That's why. Because you discourage the brethren. If you are a believer in Christ, you should be here every time this door opens. And don't think that's my word. That's not for me. It's not because I desire to have a big crowd. I'm telling you because I love you. And I desire the best for you. And I also desire the best for everyone else here. Because it encourages us. It strengthens us. And how can you encourage anyone if you're not here to encourage them? Well, I was there in spirit. Well, that spirit didn't do me any good. We need to encourage one another. And this is encouraging. To be here is to encourage each other. And believer in Christ, lastly, I want you to see this, that we are to beware false religion. If we're not hearing the wisdom of God concerning false religion, we are in dangerous territory. Oh, well, Pastor, I just surely, I'm so strong in the faith that I won't ever be moved. This false religion is pictured as a strange woman. The lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb and smoother than oil. Isn't that true of false religion? Man, they got the best speakers. I received a man, one of those big old postcards like that. It must have cost them a fortune to put out those things. Had the pictures of all of these speakers, and man, they were the best. They were the best orators and professors and all these things. Smooth, but every one of them were lost, and none of them knew the gospel. Smooth. Don't think you can't be swayed by them. Because I'll tell you what, you listen to him long enough, you'll say, well, he says some good things. He's a liar, and get away from him. Don't be brought in by smooth words. And notice this, her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, if thou canst not know them. You know, that's one thing about false religions. You can't really know what they believe. They're always moving. They're always shifting, changing. And if you ponder the path of life, if you ponder the truth of God's wisdom, you can't figure out her ways. She swifts and she'll say, oh yeah, we believe that. You say, well, that's not what you say. Yeah, but we really believe it. I know I don't preach it, but man, I really believe it. You know, I believe in election, but I just can't say it because I don't want people to leave. I don't want to offend anybody. He's a liar, and get away from him. He's a liar. He's a false prophet. He's a stranger. And you believers, listen to this word and be very careful concerning this. Hear the wisdom of the Lord. Verse 21, it says, my son, let me see, make sure I got the right one. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong one. There it is. Remove thy way, verse 8, and remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. Why not? Why don't we all just get along? Why don't we all just become one big melting pot and just say, well, I'll just call you brother and you call me brother and we won't fight about these other things and we'll just get along. No, God says get away from her door. Don't even come near it, lest thou give thy honor unto others and thy years to the cruel. When you attend anything in false religion, you are giving your consent that it's okay. Somebody in our church had a grandson who was baptized under false religion. And he came to me and he says, I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to go or not. And I said, would you consent to his baptism? He said, no. I said, why would you give your honor to it? Why would you give your consent to it? Don't go. That's what God says. Now, did that offend people? You bet it did. But I'll tell you what, it drew a line. It made a distinction. And that's exactly what the wisdom of God does with every believer. Makes a distinction. We believe in God. We believe in a successful Savior. We believe in Jesus Christ, Him crucified, risen from the dead. And we do not believe or trust in ourselves. Christ alone. The wisdom of God. Have you heard it? Believe it. Believe it. Obey it. And friends, things will be well with you. God says, say you to the righteous, it shall be well. Yeah, but I'm sick. It shall be well. Yes, but I'm dying. It shall be well. It shall be well. my family's lost. It shall be well with you. That's what God says. I think I'm going to trust His wisdom. Mine don't work out too well. Mine never works out too well. I pray that God bless this to your hearts. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed in prayer.